Good afternoon, 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
If you look at the price of cattle from where it was just about a year ago to today, it's about $400 million less in the Kentucky economy. And so any news that helps out exports is good news.
State Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles thinks a new trade deal with China will help Kentucky cattle farmers.
State police identify the person killed in Wednesday's fire in Morgan County.
And security guards at the prison in Lucasville say it is dangerously understaffed.
In sports, a Moorhead State baseball player is named a first-team All-American.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear tonight, low around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The person killed in Wednesday's mobile home fire near the Morgan-Rowan County line has been identified as 39-year-old Sharon Williams. Kentucky State Police say she was found inside the structure at 1002 Patrick Road after it went up in flames around 10:25 a.m. Detectives from the Moorhead Post of the KSP continue their probe into that blaze.
A woman is dead after attempting to swim across a Lexington reservoir yesterday. WKYT reports 27-year-old Charlie Rogers had made it about a quarter of the way across the lake when she became tired and started struggling. Witnesses at the scene tried to help Rogers but weren't able to reach her in time. The Fayette County coroner confirmed that Rogers drowned. Her body was recovered from the lake around 8:45 last night.
WSAZ is reporting that a woman is held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center following her arrest Wednesday on charges that she was selling drugs in the parking lot of Louisa Tractor Supply. Police took Crystal Wheeler into custody after receiving a call about possible drug trafficking in the area. They say Wheeler was booked on charges of possessing methamphetamine, marijuana, and pills. Her case will be presented to the Lawrence County Grand Jury.
Ohio led the nation in drug overdose deaths in 2016, and its attorney general thinks the number will go even higher this year. Republican Mike DeWine was asked about the epidemic at a press conference Wednesday. He doesn't see a respite anytime soon.
When you talk to coroners, when you talk to people in law enforcement, when you look at our lab, look, these numbers, you know, I think are going to be higher. As far as the deaths, in spite of naloxone, which, you know, if you didn't have naloxone, I just can't envision how many people there would be dead.
However, DeWine is quick to add the crisis has spawned heroic work by police, community groups, and others determined to help addicts and stem the tide of overdoses.
Governor Matt Bevin is urging people to put their faith to work by forming small prayer groups that walk some of Louisville's highest crime neighborhoods. The Republican governor offered the volunteer prayer groups as a way to help combat the city's rising murder rate. Bevin outlined his plan during a community meeting today. His remarks were met with a mix of support and derision. Bevin says the power of prayer can make a difference in curbing violence. The mother of a 7-year-old boy killed by a stray bullet says Bevin's heart is in the right place, but she doubts roving prayer groups will help.
Unions representing employees at the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility say working conditions at the prison in Lucasville are dangerous. About 100 persons picketed outside the maximum security lockup Wednesday. They say the prison is understaffed and the lack of oversight is contributing to an opiate crisis inside the facility. Christopher Mabe is president of the Ohio Civil Service Employees Association. He spoke to WCMH.
I'm worried that something can happen anywhere at any time in our department, and the issues right now are focused at Lucasville. We face a lot of challenges inside our department just simply because of the lack of staffing, and now it looks like, you know, a lack of funding.
Security guards at the SOCF say the prison is short about 30 officers. They held signs outside the facility Wednesday that read, "Danger, understaffed prison area."
A professor at the University of Kentucky says it's important to continue supporting research into fossil fuels. Dr. Rodney Andrews testified in Frankfurt this afternoon before House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Committee on Natural Resources and Energy. Andrews is director of the Center for Applied Energy Research at UK. He says it would be a mistake to funnel all the dollars for energy research into new technologies.
Every year, we advocate for more RD&D funding going into fossil energy. Fossil, so natural gas, coal, petroleum, that is still by far the largest source of our energy. And if we can continue, and it's what we have installed, it's very valuable, it's the base of what that we use.
Andrew says he'll continue to advocate for additional research into advanced combustion and gasification.
The Kentucky Energy Cabinet is recommending that the state be allowed to sell conventional gasoline despite the concerns of some state lawmakers. Several Kentucky counties have been under regulations that prohibit the sale of conventional gasoline due to concerns about air quality. State officials say that the air quality is improving, but Representative Reginald Meeks of Louisville says he hasn't seen that reflected in the health of his constituents.
You say that the air quality in Jefferson County continues to improve. However, on the ground, there continues to be a steady rise in issues of health, especially related to children's health. There's a rise in asthma, there's a rise in cancer, and these things have not gone down or even remained steady.
Officials with the Energy Cabinet would not speak to health statistics, saying that the meter readings show an improvement in air quality.
A rally in Lexington yesterday saw Kentuckians voicing environmental concerns and opposition to state and federal leadership. The march was originally organized to protest a visit from EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt to the Kentucky Association of Manufacturers. Pruitt ended up canceling his appearance, but that did not stop about 100 protesters from showing up in Triangle Park. Barbara Boyd is with the Kentucky Alliance Against Racism and Political Oppression. She spoke on the intersection of environmental and racial justice issues, saying that 3 of 5 African Americans live in communities with uncontrolled toxic waste sites.
This is evident in Louisville, wherein the American Synthetic Rubber Company wants the Air Pollution Control Board to lower the pollution standards so that they can emit more cancer-producing butadiene into the air. And believe it or not, it looks like that the Air Pollution Control Board wants to approve this.
That rally was organized by the Sierra Club, which says the event was more about challenging policy than targeting the Republican Party.
Kentucky's state agencies will cut 1% from their budgets to help avoid a $113 million shortfall. State Budget Director John Chilton ordered the cuts in a letter sent to state cabinet secretaries last week. The letter is in response to economists' projection that the state will not collect enough money in taxes to cover its expenses by the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. Chilton said in the letter he was discussing with Republican Governor Matt Bevin any official actions that should be taken to address the budget shortfall. Next year could be just as bad. Chilton said cabinet secretaries should plan for more cuts because state economists are now predicting a similar shortfall for the 2018 fiscal year.
Kentucky's agriculture commissioner says a new trade agreement between the U.S. and China should be good news for beef producers in the Commonwealth. Ryan Quarles says it'll enable the export of more cooked poultry from the U.S. to the world's most populous country. He spoke with Spectrum News.
And what that means for Kentucky is that we have 38,000 beef producers in our state. It brings in about $900 million each year into the pockets of rural Kentuckians. And so this means that we have a big opportunity. China has a population approaching 1.4 billion. They're making more money. And studies show that when populations become more affluent, they start eating more meat.
Quarles says Kentucky's cattle farmers can sure use the additional business. He says beef prices are down significantly from where they were 18 months ago, though he's quick to add the industry itself is strong.
The majority leader of the Kentucky Senate says he owes his political career to former U.S. Senator Jim Bunning, who died last week. Here's KNN's Will Clark.
Republican Senate floor leader Damon Thayer of Georgetown says Jim Bunning's encouragement to seek a party leadership position in 1996 started his political career.
He was a great man. We use that term too loosely today, great. He really was great, accomplishing the pinnacle of success in not one but two very elite pursuits, professional sports and politics.
Bunning died over the holiday weekend at the age of 85. His funeral set for this Saturday at the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption in Covington. I'm Will Clark.
Ashland police say a phone scam in the community is urging people to support an effort to fight drugs and boost staffing in the department. However, Officer Troy Patrick tells WSAZ no such solicitation is being made.
They came out saying how, you know, Ashland's a drug epidemic, how the manpower was down, and how they were just needing some extra money for helping pay for manpower and helping to pay for more training in the Ashland area.
Patrick says Ashland police already receive funding for training. He says the scammers are telling would-be donors that they will only accept contributions by credit card, and that's not how legitimate fundraisers operate.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore says the man chosen to be the community's next city manager lacks experience in city government. However, Steve Gilmore says Colonel Mike Grazy stood out from other candidates in several significant ways.
He served as garrison commander a couple of different places and has done a lot of things militarily that we think his management leadership skills that he's reflected in his past, we think will be perfect for the city of Ashland.
Gilmore says Grazy has dealt with many of the issues that confront city government while operating military facilities, things like budgets, water and sewer services, and street maintenance. The Virginia man's start date has not yet been determined. Gilmore says Grazy must first retire from the armed services.
Kentucky is celebrating 225 years of statehood. The Bluegrass State was admitted to the Union on this date in June 1792 and became the 15th state in the U.S. Kentucky Senator John Schickel is a member of the 225th Anniversary Commission. He talked about the observance this afternoon at the state capitol.
Just several hours ago, we had a ribbon cutting down at the Kentucky History Center. I got to go back in the vault, Mr. Chairman, and view the original 1792 Constitution, and it just sent chills up my spine. And I just wanted to recognize, share that with the committee, what a great day this is for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, the birthday of our state, 225 years.
The Kentucky Department of Tourism, along with some cities and other attractions, are planning events throughout the year, starting with a commemoration earlier today in Danville, which was Kentucky's first capital.
Today marks the first day of a statewide yard sale weekend in Kentucky. The 400-mile sale takes place each year on the first weekend of June and runs along historic scenic Highway 68 from Maysville to Paducah. According to their newsletter, around 1,000 vendors have already registered to participate in the sale. Also, be on the lookout for food trucks and special events taking place in the communities along Highway 68. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For today, mostly sunny with highs near 80 degrees. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, lows around 53. Friday, another sunny day, highs of 81 degrees. Friday night, clear with lows around 57. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a few afternoon clouds. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Highs will be around 84 degrees. And on Sunday, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of afternoon showers or thunderstorms, highs around 81 degrees. It is currently 81 degrees in Lexington, 78 degrees in Flemingsburg, it's 81 degrees in Ashland, and in Inez, Winchester, and Moorhead, it is currently 80 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and there isn't anyone we would rather spend the Thursday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, the annual Cave Run Kids Fishing Derby is scheduled for this Saturday, June 3rd, at the Lake's Clark E. Minor Fish Hatchery. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has details.
The Cave Run Kids Fishing Derby is an annual event open to youngsters ages 1 to 15. Each year, hundreds of kids have enjoyed free fishing and other fun activities at the event. Along with the fishing competition, there will be free food and games, as well as a BB gun range and a casting contest. Tom Timmerman is a Northeast District fisheries biologist. He says the event is free.
We've got the Bath County High School fishing team and some Boy Scouts that'll walk you through how to fish, how to tie knots on, how to bait your hook, that sort of stuff. We've got loaner poles. We've got bait that was donated by Walmart that folks can use. So we've got a little bit of everything for anybody. And basically, you just need to show up. You know, no experience needed, no equipment needed. We'll take care of you when you get here.
Timmerman says there are three specially tagged fish in the hatchery's ponds, and the kids who catch those fish get to choose from four prizes.
The Cave Run Fishing Committee has bought a canoe, a kayak, and so they can pick from either one of those. Scotts Creek Marina has donated, I think it's a half day's rental on a pontoon boat. Obviously, the parent's going to be the one driving the pontoon boat, but, you know, it's a good day to take your family out on the lake. And then Graham Slam Barbecue out of Moorhead has donated some form of a catering event.
If nobody reels in the specially tagged fish, the prizes will be awarded lottery style. Registration for the Derby will start at 6 a.m. on the 3rd, with the event running from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Timmerman says the four-hour event takes into consideration the age of some of the younger anglers.
We try to get activities that are focused on the outdoors, you know, hunting, fishing, those sorts of things. So that way when they do lose interest in fishing, they can still have something to do here for the day, something that's going to keep them occupied and still educate them about the outdoors and the wonderful things that we have to offer outside.
If possible, youngsters are advised to bring a fishing rod, tackle, and a cooler for keeping their catch fresh, as well as lawn chairs to sit on. For more information about the Cave Run Kids Fishing Derby, you can contact Tom Timmerman at 606-783-8650. Reporting for more at State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blinkenbuehler.
4:47, you're tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for Moorhead State Public Radio comes from the 25th anniversary Southern Fried Poetry Slam coming to Louisville, Kentucky for the first time. Teams and individuals compete in the Festival of Poetic Skill June 7th through the 10th. Festival passes and individual tickets are available online at kentuckycenter.org. Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State sophomore outfielder Nico Hosizer has been named a first-team All-American by a collegiate baseball newspaper. Hosizer was named the OVC co-player of the year last month. He is currently tied as the Division I national home run leader with 27 on the year. He is the second Eagle in the last 3 years to be chosen as a first-team All-American, joining catcher Chris Robinson in 2015. For the first time in 34 years, Round County is the 16th Region Baseball Champions. The Vikings held off West Carter in last night's championship game to get the 6-3 win. Round County had not played in the regional championship game since 1989 and had not won the regional title since 1983. Head coach Keith Prater calls the win beyond special.
To be honest with you, man, it hasn't sunk in. I can't put words to it yet. You know what I'm saying? it's an amazing feeling, and very proud of our kids and our community, and it's just an amazing feeling. I honestly can't put words to it.
The now 25-14 Vikings will play Muhlenberg County next Thursday at Whitaker Bank Ballpark in Lexington at 1:30 in the state tournament. Muhlenberg is 27-9 on the year. East Carter is now back-to-back 16th region softball champions. The Lady Raiders beat Ashland Blazer 2-0 last night in the championship game behind junior pitcher Montana Fouts. Fouts had 15 strikeouts in the game, but head coach Derek Calhoun was praising his team's defense after the game. He spoke with Cool Hits.
That's something we had to stress to the girls. You know, the last three or four ball games were bad. They've been not where we wanted to be. And, you know, we knew that we needed to focus on, make sure we play good defense behind her. You know, you play good defense behind the number one pitcher in the state, you're going to win a lot of ball games.
East Carter will play 8th region champions Collins next on June the 8th in Owensboro in the state tournament. East Carter is 33-3 on the year. Collins is 28-9. The Cincinnati Reds are taking today off before hosting the Braves tomorrow to start a three-game series. After getting swept by the Blue Jays yesterday 5-4, Reds manager Brian Price says the day off is much needed.
You know, the travel more than anything. We had the long day in Cleveland with the rain out, sitting around waiting for, you know, buses and flights and things of that nature. Customs here in Toronto, etc. And then getting swept.
The Reds are now 24-28 on the year. Atlanta will roll into Great American Ballpark tomorrow with a 22-29 record. Some afternoon scores from around Major League Baseball. Cleveland beat Oakland 8-0. The Brewers beat the Mets 2-1. The Cardinals lead the Dodgers 2-0 in the eighth inning, and Colorado leads Seattle 4-1 in the third. The NBA Finals tip off tonight in Golden State with Game 1 between the Cavaliers and Warriors at 9 o'clock. This will be the third straight Finals matchup between the two teams. Cavs point guard Kyrie Irving says it's important for Cleveland to settle into the hostile environment early.
That's a feel-out game. So just come out with a great game plan, some adjustments that we can make going on throughout the game, an aggressiveness and a pace that you know, we want to play at, and just settle in as quick as we can. We understand that this environment and the level and the intensity that this will be at, you know, emotionally it's natural to feel all those things. So it'll be exciting.
Cleveland is the reigning NBA champions after beating the Warriors in Game 7 of last year's finals in Golden State. A Center College football coach and player were injured after falling from a cliff. Paul Miles has more.
A statement from Center President John Rouse says the two men were hiking in the cliffs of Moher in Western Ireland when they fell and were injured. A rescue helicopter airlifted them to safety, and a Center spokesman says the men suffered injuries that are not life-threatening. The two were part of a larger contingent of football players, coaches, and family that traveled to Ireland for a football game between Center College and the Belfast Trojans. I'm Paul Miles.
Six Western Kentucky football players have been indicted by a Warren County grand jury for a variety of charges stemming from an incident in March at a fraternity house. Former Ashland Blazer standout running back Quentin Baker was one of the six players involved. He was charged with wanton endangerment of the first degree, fourth degree assault, and criminal trespassing in the third degree. This is Baker's second off-the-field incident in his two seasons at WKU. He pled guilty to driving under the influence and marijuana possession charges in 2016. All six players have been suspended indefinitely. And finally in sports, Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka have won through to the third round at the French Open, but a couple of other veterans are now out. AP correspondent Matt Brown reports.
World number one Andy Murray's bounced back from losing the first set to beat Slovak left-hander Martin Kližan in four sets. He'll next face Juan Martin Del Potro, who advanced when Nicolas Almagro's knee gave way in the third set. Third seed Stan Wawrinka impressed in a straight sets win, but veterans Thomas Burdett and David Ferrer have both crashed out, along with temperamental Aussie Nick Kyrgios. Matt Brown, Paris.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State men's basketball will host the 2017 Preston Spradlin Basketball Camp June 12th through 14th at MSU's Johnson Arena. Morning and afternoon sessions for boys and girls entering kindergarten through 12th grade. For more information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
4:53, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of all the business news from his perch in Ashland this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher as we completed the first trading day in June, setting records for a couple of the indices as Wall Street got ready for the release of the monthly jobs report tomorrow morning. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a strong gain of 135.53 at 21,144.18, just short of a record for the Dow. The S&P 500 did close at an all-time high, as the S&P 500 finished with a gain of 18.26 at 2430.06. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 48.31, setting a new all-time closing high of 6246.83. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The ADP report showed that private payroll surged by 253,000 in the month of May, and this easily topped expectations. And, of course, there is much anticipation for the government payroll report, which will come out tomorrow morning before the opening of the markets. The ISM Manufacturing Index for May came in at 54.9, just below an estimate of 55. April construction spending fell 1.4%, with economists forecasting a gain of 0.5%. The Fed is, of course, going to meet this month to determine the future path of interest rates, and market expectations for a 0.25% rate hike now stand at just under 96%, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. Shares of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise slipped more than 6% after the firm reported a significant decline in quarterly sales, and also Marathon Petroleum approved an additional $3 billion to its shares repurchase program. Marathon stock today very strong. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $48.07 a barrel, and gold finished down about 0.5% at $1,269.10 an ounce. In Europe, markets were up, with the Stoxx 600 up just over 0.4%. In Asia, markets were mostly higher, with the Nikkei up just over 1% and the Hang Seng up almost 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Goldman Sachs. The worst performers were Nike and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Signet Jewelers and Goodyear Tire and Rubber, and the worst performers were Hewlett Packard and Analog Devices. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 67 cents at $67.21, Marathon Petroleum up $1.04 at $53.08, AEP up 41 cents at $72.19, AK Steel down 7 cents at $6.03, CSX up 42 cents at $54.59, and Valvoline was up 31 cents to finish at $22.68. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Turning to take another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Inez, Mount Sterling, and Olive Hill. Today, mostly sunny, highs near 80 degrees. Tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, lows near 53. For Friday, another sunny day, highs around 81 degrees. Friday night, clear, with lows around 57. For Saturday, mostly sunny with a few afternoon clouds. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Highs will be around 84 degrees. For Saturday night, clear skies, lows of 62 degrees. For Sunday, partly cloudy with a 50% chance of afternoon showers or thunderstorms. Highs around 81 degrees. And that chance of rain persists through Sunday night. There's an 80% chance of evening thunderstorms. Lows around 66 degrees. It is currently 78 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 81 degrees in Lexington, 81 degrees in Ashland, and it is currently 80 degrees in Inez, Winchester, and right here in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.